All right. We've got to the last part today of base camp. And we've been discovering how we can engage the realms of God around us and in us and in the realms of heaven, following two pathways, pathway of relationships with intimacy with God flowing from inside us, and also the pathway of responsibility, which leads to kingdom rulership in heaven, which is later on in the journey. So we've looked at developing our spirit, building our spirit so that we can engage with God in intimacy. We've seen using tongues, different ways to do two things at once by speaking in tongues, reading the word, speaking in tongues, meditating. It's all part of that development. How to discern the flow of God's thoughts through meditating, how to engage in the word of God with that. Also, opening the eyes of our heart so that we can see with the eyes of our heart our imagination, which is the screen that God has given us so that we can engage with him in that way. And he speaks to us on that screen. And today we want to talk about activating the eyes of our spirit. So our eyes of our heart, our soul has eyes. Our natural body has eyes, but our spirit also has eyes. And that's what we're going to look at today. And we're going to look at spiritual perception, how we receive spiritual information, that the veil is torn, and that there are three or four different levels of spiritual engagement. And there's lots of further information on the blogs and different things we've done in the past. You can go onto the website and look engage at that. Now, when we were looking at preparation and how we prepare for the journey, this was something that we shared. In that there are different levels of engagement in seeing. And there are people who are seers who've been gifted by God, called by God in who they actually are to see into the realm of the spiritual things. Now, they are a few people, and that's why they're at the bottom of the triangle. But they are supposed to equip others to see. And to engage and to encourage people to engage in the gifts of the Spirit. Because one of the gifts of the Spirit is distinguishing of spirits. In other words, how to distinguish what's going on in the spiritual realm. And that's a spiritual gift that we can receive. Now, that's as the Spirit wills. But if we're hungry, it says we can earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that we can prophesy or that we can see into that realm. Because one of the realms of prophecy is seeing. So we all have access to the Holy Spirit. So we have access to seek that gift so that we can develop being able to see. But the third category there, which is available for every single person, we can train our senses to see. Because that's our responsibility, that we can train our actual spiritual, physical, emotional, all our senses to be able to engage in all the realms that are around us. So God has given us the capacity to see physically, spiritually, and heavenly, but we're responsible to develop that capacity. And we're responsible to use the abilities that we've got. If you don't use anything, it atrophies. And part of the problem is, as a race, if you like, we have not been taught to use those things so that they've not actually been active. And we need to reactivate them so that we can begin to engage and see in these things. 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Now, that is what we're taught to do in the world in which we live, to fix our eyes on what is seen. That's why I can see you now, and I can know where you are, and I can know all the spatial awareness, because I've learned how to interpret light coming into my eyes and going as signals to my brain. But we're supposed to fix our eyes in a real sense on what is unseen. Because it's really, really important to understand the unseen, because this realm is surrounded by the unseen realm. It exists because of the unseen realm. It's come out of the unseen realm. It's held together by that realm. So if we don't engage that realm, we're going to struggle to be able to work in this realm effectively as sons of God. Because this realm is temporary, but that eternal realm, the unseen realm, is eternal. It was created by God first, and this realm has come out of that one. So we need to use those gifts to discern in that realm and look into that realm to see or perceive. If we don't look, we're never going to see. And that's our responsibility to look. Mark 8:18 says, having eyes, do you not see? Now, that's a question we all need to ask. We have natural eyes, but they do not see into the unseen realm. We all have spiritual eyes and ears, but are they open and are they functioning? That's the question we have to ask ourselves, because having eyes, do you not see? Jesus is saying that to all of us right now. You have eyes, but are you seeing? So we have physical senses, our hearts, souls have senses, our spirits have senses, but we have to learn to use them. Now, we've gone through this before, so I'm just going to skip through it, but we know that our natural eyes receives light, and it interprets that in the brain on the screen. And we've learned to discern that. Also, our natural ears receive pressure waves in the air that's passed as information through our ear to our brain, and we interpret those vibrations in the air as sounds. And we've learned to do that. Our consciousness, our thoughts, are just a series of electrical impulses in the brain. But we've learned to interpret that so we can actually think cognitively. We can think and imagine, and we can engage. So we've learned some of those things. Now, our eyes and our ears have abilities to see different wavelengths and of light, from hertz at one end of the scale up to nanometers at the other. So those are different wavelengths of light and sound. And that is limited. But our spirit can discern wavelengths that are detectable above the level that our eyes naturally and our ears can discern. But we have to tune in. And our spirit can interpret and describe what it's receiving in those realms. Those are eternal realms. Those are the realms of the spirit in us and around us, because that realm is around us right now. You know, there are angelic beings in this room right now that are unseeable to our natural eyes unless they choose to make themselves known, which they can do occasionally. So everything seen and unseen is energy vibrating at specific frequencies. Everything, including you and me. And actually, we are vibrating at such a frequency, at the smallest time frame, which is called Planck's constant, which is 1/20,000th of a billionth of a second, or of a nanosecond, which means that we're engaging with a realm, and our atoms of our being and our particles of our atoms are going in and out of that realm at that point. We just have never remembered it, because it's such a short period of time, and we've never remembered how to tune into it. But now we can begin to experience these things and understand the spiritual realms, the known universe, and that known universe is contained within the realm of the spirit, because God made the heavens first and then made the earth to live within that realm. Our bodies, each organ of our bodies is vibrating at a frequency, and if we're sensitive to that, we can see whether our body is in tune or out of tune with God and with itself. Because when an organ is vibrating at a lower frequency than it should be, then there is sickness or disease. And we can retune those frequencies into that alignment with that. Our DNA itself vibrates and has its own song, which was unfortunately produced in chaos because it came from the record of mother and father and their generations. But actually, God wants to bring us back into a new DNA, which is his DNA, which has a new song. It comes from our eternal record, which came out of eternity in our spirit. And our spirit needs to transform our soul into alignment with that destiny. Our thoughts, our emotions, everything about us has a frequency that we can tune into. But we have to tune our receivers to pick up those frequencies. You know, there are all sorts of types of wavelengths of light. Not all of them are tunable by everything. You need a satellite dish to pick up satellite signals. You need a TV aerial to pick up TV signals. You need a tuner within a radio to pick up radio frequencies. There are different detectors that you can detect UV, ultraviolet light, microwaves, radio waves, all sorts of different forms of radiation. Well, there is spiritual radiation, if you like, that we can also tune into, but we have to practice. Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So we have to train our senses. And that's, unfortunately, doesn't happen in an instant. Just as you didn't get here in one day, you've taken some of you 70 years, 60 years, maybe 40 years, ooh, going down a little bit, 30, a few 20s maybe. But there are, and there's one in one, two. So we had to practice knowing everything we know right now. We have to repractice to know a different realm of seeing and engaging. That is key, is knowing how to receive those vibrations, those frequencies, and interpret them. Now, our body is designed to be a receiver of vibration, to capture information from the spiritual and physical realms and to interpret it. So our body is an amplifier of frequency and vibration, of wavelengths, of electromagnetic energy, and it's designed through the nervous system to engage that and to understand it and to interpret it and to live in it and see it. So our whole body vibrates. Our body is made up of about 68% water. Our brain is even more percentage of water. True. But in a sense, it's designed that way. It wasn't originally designed that way, by the way. You know, it wasn't designed that way originally, because it was designed that our spirit was on the outside of our body. Our soul connected our body to our spirit, and we were one being, able to move in the realms of this natural earth. That's why we have a physical body. But that spirit could take that and walk into the realms of heaven and walk into the spiritual realms. And that's what Adam was able to do. You know, Adam didn't have blood. He didn't have skin. He didn't have the same physical format as we did until the fall. Then God skinned him, and light, that he was a light being, congealed and operated as blood. The heart then pumped that blood around the body. That's not how we were created, and it won't be how we're recreated. And God is wanting to transform us back into that reconditioned way so that we can engage the spiritual realms and walk in this realm and that realm the same. So at the moment, we're learning to engage our spirit in the spiritual realms. And some of us are engaging our soul there. So when you engage in a trance and different things, you go into that realm with the format of your soul. But not many people have engaged their body there yet. Elijah and Enoch learned how to get their body there because they were taken and they walked there. Others did as well. Moses engaged there. Abraham engaged there. There were people who engaged there. There was a whole group of people who were taken there. But we have to engage and learn how to do that. So at the moment, water is able to translate frequency four times faster than the air. So essentially, when those frequencies hit your body, they get instantly transmitted to your brain. And you can interpret them if you learn. So we receive those frequencies both from within, so that it comes from the inside of us and we can engage that realm on the inside, and also from without, so that we can engage the realm of heaven around us. So our body is a detector and an amplifier of frequency, but our spirit needs to become sensitive to that so that it can show us what God is doing, what God is saying, what's going on around us in the dimensions of the spirit. Everything is interpreted in our brain through the nervous system. That was the point of it. That's not a problem. I know people say it's a problem, or you're making it up, it's all in your head. Everything is in our head, so let's get over that. And don't let religious spirits rob us of the truth because of mindsets that are designed to keep us from these realms. Now, this room is filled with all sorts of frequencies and spiritual things. We can't see them always with our natural eyes, but we can tune in to see them with our spirit so that we can encode those things and understand them. Now, we've done this probably involuntarily. Like, we feel or sense atmospheres. Now, how do you do that? Now, how do you see, you know, you could cut the atmosphere with a knife. How? Because you didn't try, did you? You walked into a room and felt something. Sometimes you go into a place and feel cold. You get a shiver. Now, how do you receive that information? What were you picking up in the atmosphere that made you shiver, that made you feel cold? certain places are very peaceful places. You go into a place and it's just like, wow, this seems a place of rest. Why and how? Now, the problem is we have just involuntarily picked some of those up. Some people are more sensitive than others to those things, but we can train our senses to pick up those things. We can train our senses to see atmospheres, to see spiritual dynamics, to actually engage in the things around us that our natural bodies limit. So we need to train ourselves. Now, when I was practicing this myself, it wasn't quite by accident, because I was practicing, but in a funny way, and we'll do the exercise later, I was following an exercise trying to see with my eyes closed. That sounds a bit strange, but I was trying to continue to see. So I was looking at my hand, closing my eyes, and then I wanted to see my hand with my eyes closed. And I was messing around doing this while the band actually were, it was a while ago, but they were doing their sound check. And I was messing around at the back, closing my eyes with my hand. And once, actually, I shut my eyes and I could still see the band playing. Now, I could see them in a slightly different form, but they were there and I would be able to see. So I thought, wow, maybe I can do this more. So I started to do it more and I began to see angelic realms and different things that are going on with my eyes closed and with my eyes open. But I started to practice, you know, and I would just have fun looking, shutting my eyes, opening my eyes, engaging. Now, God described it to me because I wanted a way of how do I describe how I'm doing this so that other people can do it. As the what sonar or radar does. Sonar, when you're in water, like in a submarine, the submarine sends out a ping of sound which travels through as a wave through the water. When it hits something solid, like another submarine or a whale or rocks, it sends back an echo, a reflection of that sound. And on a little radar screen or on a sonar screen, that picks it up. You know, remember in those submarine films, you get that little ping, voyage to the bottom of the sea. Remember that? If you remember that, back in the 60s, they used to send out those little things.
Very rarely.
Yeah. You know, but when our spirit wants to engage in the realm around us, it can send out a wave or a ping, and that can send back information that we can interpret. And our bodies is designed to pick up that information, and our brains designed to interpret it. We just have to begin to activate it. Because if you don't send out a ping, you don't get anything back. So if our spirit is so locked up within our soul and within our body that it's not operating around us on the outside, like the rivers of living water that are supposed to flow through us to engage the realm around us, then we won't see anything. But when we deliberately choose to engage our spirit and send out a ping or a wave, then we can receive back what's here. Now, I've learned to turn that on and off because it can be very distracting if you don't turn it on and off. Because you can see things because they're receiving through that system. Now, someone in the past, like William Branham, who was one of the healing revivalists, he could touch people and receive the vibrations in their body of the diseased organs. So he could tell if frequencies were lower by touching them. Now, people say, you can't do that. Why? God gave him the ability to do it and told him that he would have an angel with him to help him do it. So we can learn how to do these things. But in order to see, we've got to look. Daniel 7:2, I was looking in my vision, I kept looking, and I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, if we keep looking, we'll see. You won't necessarily see the very first time. You may do. If you do, great. But keep persisting to see. You know, a child, a little baby, can only see 10 inches in focus. Then it gets a bit further and then a bit further until they're able to focus. We have to practice being able to see. Habakkuk 2:1, I will stand on my guard post, station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see. If you don't keep watch, you're not going to see. So let's be proactive about it. Because we need to become an active listener, not just a passive one. You know, sometimes God shows us things, gives us things, which is great. But we can be very passive in that. Or when I'm in a wonderful spiritual atmosphere, sometimes I receive prophetic words. Well, that's great. But actually, what happens when I'm not in a spiritual atmosphere? How can I receive then? So we need to practice to learn to be an active receiver, just like Daniel, Habakkuk, and others, to intentionally see. To see that spirit world which is around us and engage with it. So 2 Corinthians 4:18 again. Let's fix our eyes on what is not seen. How do we do it? How do we fix our eyes? How do we become someone who sees and perceives that realm? Well, we've looked at this diagram before, but it's like the screen of our imagination has the ability to have things projected on it. God can project images, pictures, feelings, senses onto it. We can also choose to open that thing by thinking about and activating our imagination and actually using those images and seeing those images in our imagination. But think about the other side of that. What if it's a curtain or a veil or a portal that is just black because we've not opened it? And our spiritual eyes are supposed to look into that. That screen is black unless it's illuminated. Now, when you close your eyes, generally everything's black. When you go to sleep, generally you want it to be black because we've been taught to go to sleep and shut everything off. But actually, when you read in the Bible, it talks about the night watch. So our body can go to sleep, but our soul and spirit can be active and awake. And so when we go to sleep, I would encourage you, don't try and get a black screen and drift off to sleep. I would encourage you to activate the eyes of your heart, your imagination and your spirit, and to go to a place that you've been before, whether it's the garden of your heart or whether it's this realm in heaven, and go there while you sleep and let your body go to sleep and look to keep your senses awake. Now, the problem is we've all had problems probably at some stage or another of not being able to sleep because our mind is going round and round thinking about something. That's not rest, and I'm not encouraging you to do that. I'm encouraging you to enter a place of rest where your body can rest, but your spirit and soul can be awake. And so that screen is not actually supposed to be black. It was never black for Adam and Eve. It shouldn't be black for us. So what if it wasn't black by default? What if it was a viewing portal into the unseen realms? What if it was a doorway to enter into those realms? How do we access that doorway, that portal? Originally, Adam and Eve, being made in the image of God, had the capacity to see and move spiritually. How do we know that? Well, you can go and ask them. I did, and they told me some things. But we also know from the Word of God that Adam and Eve could engage with God in Eden and in the garden, which he made in the east of Eden. So they walked with God. They heard him. They saw him. How did they do that? Because he's a spirit. Because they had spiritual capacity to do it. They also engaged with the enemy in the garden. The enemy is also a spirit. Now, that whole ability was blocked because of the fall and because of their engaging the wrong pathway, because they chose to engage a natural pathway where they could only engage in the physical abilities of themselves. And that was closed down. So they were excluded from the pathway that engages with the unseen realms. That's the pathway of the tree of life, or to the eternal realm. That's now guarded by a cherubim and fiery sword, angelic creatures, to stop access illegitimately to that spiritual realm. Now, Jesus defeated Satan on the cross, defeated him in the garden, defeated him in the wilderness 3 times, and restored that access to us. So hence, in the early church, you have a whole host of angelic and heavenly engagement that you didn't get when Jesus was actually here on earth, other than the transfiguration, which was a glimpse into what it's like to have a physical body engaged in the spiritual realms. Because Elijah, who came in the transfiguration, had a physical body still. And Moses, although he died, actually still has a physical body. Think, ooh, I've heard that one before. Well, actually, think in Jude, Satan contended with Michael the archangel over his body. Why? Because Moses wanted a body to help people cross into that realm. And therefore, he still has. And that's why he was able to be transfigured and operate in this realm. If we're going to operate in both physical and spiritual realms, we have to have a body. If you don't have a resurrected body, then you can only operate in the realms of the spirit once you die. Now, I don't really want to die, so I need my body to continue going and to operate in a redeemed, transfigured state. And we have to learn how to see our body transfigured so that we can operate in both realms properly as we were intended to. Now, there's a few things I've thrown out there, but there we will explore and experience those things on this journey together. Now, there has been a veil of darkness on our eyes. Jesus has removed that veil so that we can see. But what he's done, he's torn the veil in two, and it's our responsibility to go through it and open it. That's why it still appears to be black. But it is openable, because the original curtain in the temple was like 10 inches thick material. It was impossible to tear it. And you couldn't possibly go through it either. Hence the high priest had to be translated through it. That's how he was able to go into that place. Now, we just don't think about those things, but that's what happened. How on earth was he going to get through a heavy, massive curtain, which was 10 inches thick? We just think, well, he must have gone through it because it's just a curtain. It was impossible to go through it naturally. So he had the ability to go through it because he had the ability because he was taught in the priesthood. Now that is just an old Aaronic priesthood from the lineage of Aaron. We are of the order of the Melchizedek priesthood, where Jesus has gone before us to open these things up. Now Paul, John, Stephen, they engaged in that realm and they saw into that realm. We can see that because there are stories. Now mostly we read of Paul and we read of John in Revelation, but this is a scripture for Stephen, Acts 7:55. Being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently. Notice he gazed intently with purpose into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So Stephen, because he gazed intently, was able to see into that realm. Now, Matthew 27:51 says, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. This is so important to get hold of. It's really, really important. The veil is torn. Therefore, we have access through it. Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul and a hope both sure and steadfast and one which enters within the veil and where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us. So what does a forerunner do? Go ahead. So that someone else can follow. So Jesus has gone into the veil as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever. So this is not just it's only temporary. This is a forever thing, according to the order of Melchizedek, not Aaron. Aaron was an earthly priesthood. Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek, which is a heavenly priesthood, which will operate on earth. He's gone in the veil for us. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. So we can draw near to that realm because of what Jesus has done through the veil. 2 Corinthians 4:3, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus and with the Father through Jesus, you are perishing and can't see because you're still veiled. Your eyes are still closed. You can't see the light. 2 Corinthians 3:16, whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So that veil is taken away for every believer. Every believer has access, not just special people, not just prophets and seers. Every believer has that veil taken away. So everybody can see and step in through that veil to engage that realm. We need to look and engage beyond the veil, because that's where everything holds together. Beholding and becoming is a teaching we've done. What you look at and what you behold, you become like. So if we want to become like who we're supposed to be, then we need to look at where that takes place, which is beyond the veil. We become like that which we look at. 2 Corinthians 3:3. Being manifested that you are a letter of Christ cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on the tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human hearts. Once you begin to engage in that realm, God starts to change you. By stepping into that realm, God can change and re-encode what's written on the tablets of your heart. It's why we present ourselves as living sacrifices. And notice what it says in Romans 12:1, I present my bodies as a living sacrifice. So we're going to need to learn how to get our body transformed as well as our soul to bring it in line with our spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:13, 14. And are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face. For until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it's removed in Christ. The veil is removed, so we can go through. We can engage that realm. It's our inheritance to engage that realm. We can see and we can access that realm. Because if we can't see it, we can't do it. And if we can't see it, we can't be it. So it's so important that we see into the realm of the Spirit so we can be who we are. Because that is where our spirit came from. It's designed in that spiritual realm to function there. We need to see it so that we can be like it. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. So we need to be able to see so we can do. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So we need to see the things which aren't visible so we can be transformed into that image. Jesus was the express image of God. He only did what he saw the Father doing. And we can see that in John 5:19, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1. Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God. How did he become the image of the invisible God? Was he just made like it? Or did he spend so much time engaging with God that he became like it? Now, these are questions we have to look at, because if we're going to be like him, we have to engage him. He's the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. Thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So we need to engage the realm where all things hold together. That is the spiritual realm. Hebrews 1:3. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. We need to engage the realm where all things are upheld. God is light. Jesus was the light of the world. We are children of the light. Light is a fascinating subject. It is both a wave, like a wavelength, but when it's observed, it becomes a particle. And it's such an amazing thing that it even knows when you're going to observe it before you've absorbed it. So it acts back in time and forward in time. Now I'm just going to throw that one out there and leave it, because I haven't got time to go into it. It's a really interesting subject. But light can be seen in many different forms. Ephesians 5:8 and 13. For you were formerly darkness, now you are light in the Lord. So in him, when we step into him and when we step in to see him, we are becoming light. Now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Now this has a whole different dimension when we actually understand what it means to be light. It's not just talking to be good or nice, which is what the interpretation has been. Well, just do righteous things, therefore you're in the light. No, we're supposed to walk as children of light. Therefore, we're supposed to walk radiating light and glory. All things become visible when they're exposed by the light. Now, we're talking here about creative light, not created light. We have a lot of created light in this room, coming from the lights in the ceiling, coming in through the window. That is created light. When we step into the realm of heaven, we're stepping into a different realm of light, creative light, which is faster than creative light. When we step into that light and we begin to engage that light begins to transform us. It says, but all things become visible when they're exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. I'm not going to explain that, but I've encouraged you to think about these things because they're there. We just ignore them or think, oh, that's a bit high, I'm not going to get... Meditate on it. Meditate on that. And you will begin to understand more about how we engage in this realm. We must see the light to be light and to radiate light. So we need to step into the realm where that light is and to look into the realm where that light is. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now we all, with unveiled face, behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So when we step into that realm and we look into that realm, we are going to be transformed and changed into original condition. Because the veil is torn, but we need to draw it back so that we can engage in those realms where everything is formed and everything holds together. And we will be reformed and reshaped and reconditioned, if you like. So we can transform here from being and seeing in the glory realm of the heavens. We will not be able to transform here unless we are engaging in the heavens, because everything of the kingdom is manifested on earth as it is in heaven. So that picture, that pattern of heaven should be on earth. It was in the original condition. Because our earth and this universe was within the realms of heaven, because God made it first. So we become what we engage. Now as we live, move, have our being from that true reality, we can see that reality reflected through the gateway of our lives as radiators of creative light to terraform the earth to original condition. We're not supposed to let this earth collapse. We're supposed to change it and transform it. So the Green Party have not got it all wrong. They just got the wrong end of the stick. We are responsible for the planet we've been given. We're supposed to have dominion over it, but we're supposed to terraform it into heaven. So that the garden that we have, our embassy on earth, it starts with our lives being an embassy of heaven on earth. It becomes the ecclesia of God's gathered people. It will become a castroponia, a ministerial center, a beachhead of heaven on earth, which is here to terraform and take charge and bring a Joshua generation. We've been talking with Nigel about actually a Joshua kingdom, a Joshua nation, a Joshua world, a Joshua generation universe that's operating under a different order. There's a lot of stuff for us to do. So we need to learn how to do it. Now, there are four realms of the spirit we can engage in. That I've sort of engaged with so far. There are lots of different spiritual realms, but the ones we're looking at today. The realm of the Holy Spirit. Most of the time when we tune into the spiritual realm, we pick up the realm of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we get words of knowledge from the gifts of the Spirit, prophecies, pictures, and things like that. But there's the realm of the personal angelic around us, where our personal angels are, where our spiritual light and fire can be seen. Because when we start to engage that realm, we can see who's on fire for God and who isn't. Whether someone's actually got a light in their life or not. The realm of the angelic in this room. The realm that's opened up by God sending angels into the atmosphere. And then there are the eternal, the realms of the heavenlies. We can see all those things. Now, we're going to explore these things on the journey. this is just an introductory session to whet your appetite and to give you the opportunity to practice. Because when we get to that point on the journey, we're going to look to engage those realms much more actively. But today we're going to have some fun. So learn to tune in and hear God's voice inside. Learn to tune in and see from the inside, hear from the inside, feel from the inside, be guided from the inside, smell from the inside, touch from the inside. Inside is connected to the realms of heaven flowing through us. Now, for those of you who always like to have a scripture to hang something on, here's the scripture that we're going to use to open up this realm. 2 Kings 6:15-17. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So there was an army, a natural army, around Elisha. And Elisha could see the spiritual realm around him and wasn't frightened. His servant was frightened. So Elisha prayed and said to God, "Open up his eyes so he can see." So we have a mandate and a precedent set that we can take, and we can use that to open up that realm for ourselves, which is what we're going to do right now. So I want to declare some things over you, because as Elisha prayed, so can I. And I want to declare these things over you. So be open to receive these if you want to look into that realm today. I declare the veil of blindness removed. I declare the removal of all religious veils, mindsets that hide the truth from us. I declare that you can discover the true reality of the real world. I declare the eyes of your spirit open. I declare that you can see and engage the unseen realms. Now, we're going to use some pictures. There's a picture of a black veil. Okay? So you can see it on the screen. Very black. There's a hand that's going to open that veil. Okay? And it's going to open more and more. Okay? So what I want you to do is we're going to just activate our spirit for a while. So for a minute, just pray in tongues. Pray in tongues out loud, pray in tongues in your mind, pray in tongues in your spirit, wherever. Just begin to pray in tongues. And as you're praying in tongues, just begin to still your mind, relax, and think about the torn veil. Just start to think about that veil, that curtain, is not thick and fixed. It is torn and can be opened. Now I want you just to begin to think about that black veiled screen with your eyes closed. Just, this is the most easy exercise you can do. So with your eyes closed, just see the blackness. Now all I need to do is open your eyes and hold your hand up in front of your face and just look at your hand. Just look and gaze intently at your hand. And just remember what your hand looks like. And then close your eyes and see if you can see your hand. Just keep it held up, but with your eyes closed, can you see it? Can you see it with your imagination? Can you picture your hand? Or can you see it with the eyes of your spirit? Just begin to open your eyes, look at your hand again. Look at all the lines on it. Look at what it looks like. Has it got rings on your fingers? Just see your hand. Then close your eyes. And look to see your hand. Activate the eyes of your heart to begin to see your hand in front of your face. Now behind your hand is that dark veil. Now I want to encourage you to see that torn veil and see your hand just pulling back the veil and opening that curtain. Just see your hand doing it. Now as you do it, just see the veil open and look into what's behind the veil. You may see light. You may see into the realm of the spirit around you. You may see into the realm of heaven, depending on what you're used to. You may just see some light, but it's no longer a black veil. There's light coming through, that you begin to tune into the light, to see the light. Now, for those of you who can see something, just begin to focus and fix your gaze on it. Some of you may just begin to feel something or sense something or perceive something. Now, if you're doing that, just let your spirit on the inside of you send out that wave, that ping into the atmosphere here. Just see like a river of living water flowing from the inside of you, going out through your soul, through your physical eyes, into this atmosphere, and then just receive the echo. Look into the realm of the spirit around people. You can do that with your eyes closed. You can do it also with your eyes open once you've practiced. But just sense what's coming back. Sense where the angels are. Just attune your senses to that realm. Now, I know some of you have practiced, you can see into the heavenly realm. If you can see into that realm, you may choose to step through that portal and engage in that realm. If you're seeing the realm of the angels around you, and there are angels near you, interact with them. Talk to them. See what they're here for. It may come to you as just information in your mind that you just know what's around you right now. But just practice that. I sense, as I'm looking into that realm myself, that the angels, that your guardian angels that are assigned to you, want to engage with you. They're standing behind you, in the spiritual realm behind you. I'm looking and seeing them. Now I just want you to engage your spirit to interact with those angels that are behind you. It may just be a sensing that they're there, feeling their presence. You may be able to see them in the realm of the spirit, what they're wearing, the different colors, their view, what they look like. That's great, but they want you to engage with them because they're ministering spirits sent to you. They're there to help you each day. They're on assignment to your life. If you can engage with them or sense them, just speak to them in your mind as thoughts, because they recognize the language of thought, and ask them their names. Now there's three men in white linen, saints of old, who have just come into the atmosphere as one of the cloud of witnesses. And at the front of the hall, they're laying down three mantles. One is Paul, one is John, and one is Stephen, who saw into the realm of the heavens, who engaged into the realm of the heavens. And they're laying their mantles down, that when we come to worship later, you can engage and you can pick up those mantles. Mantle is a symbol of authority which enables you to engage in the activity that they engaged in, because they want to invest in our day to see the fulfillment of their purposes and their calls. Encourage you now just to bring yourself back into this dimension, just refocus in this dimension, but carry with you the record and the testimony of that which you've seen, that which you've experienced, that which you've heard, that which you've felt, that which you've perceived, and then practice these things on a regular basis so that you can learn to see and to act and to encourage you to engage in those realms. Okay.